very excited about. So there are a couple of reasons why we're doing this series. The first reason is because it's really good for us to every now and then to just clarify what we believe. I think I've left my clicker behind, sorry. It's important for us to clarify what we believe. So we're really blessed as a church. We have a lot of people from different backgrounds, from different churches that are worshiping with us together. And the question is often, what is it that we really believe? And as we work through this, it's just to help us clarify where we stand on different theological issues. Another reason why I'm really excited and why we're doing this series is because it reveals community. You see, our church is just a local church, but we belong to the church, the universal church. We're connected to churches around the globe. And there are a lot of churches that believe different things. And often the question is, who are we family with? You know, who do we belong with? And the Apostle Creed just reminds us of who we are connected with and who is part of our community. Another reason why we are doing this is because it just informs our counsel. The truth on what we believe informs how we counsel ourselves and how we counsel those around us, because what we believe will influence how we behave. Now, just a quick disclaimer, and I did this last week, and I think it's important to do it again, and that is to say that I am not preaching the Apostles' Creed. I'm preaching the Bible. And it's very important to know that distinguish that. The creed has no authority. It is merely something that reflects what Scripture teaches. For example, when you go out at night and you see the beautiful full moon and you see that light, it is not the moon that has a light, but it is reflecting the light from the sun. And that is what the creed is doing. It is reflecting what Scripture teaches. That is what we are dealing with. And so as we go through the Apostles' Creed, we are using it just as a guideline for our conversation as we study the Bible. So just quickly, let me give you a little bit of a background to the Apostles' Creed. It was written in about the 4th century, and the purpose of why it was written was to deal with heresy that was creeping into the church. And it was just to clarify what the church believes on different theological issues. But over time, it has been used for more as just that, more than just dealing with heresy, but it has been used as really a statement of faith, of saying, this is what we believe as Christians. But more than that, over the years, it has developed into more of a pledge of allegiance and a statement of rebellion. Now, let me just explain a little bit what I mean by that. When people stand and they recite, or later on we're going to sing it, as people stand and they recite the Apostles' Creed, what they are doing is they are rebelling against the narratives and stories of their time, of that day. And they are pledging allegiance rather to the God of the Bible. To give you an example of what we would be doing as we stand and recite the creed, is we would be standing and we would be rebelling against the doctrine of materialism. In our world today and in our culture, there is this understanding that everything, that things will satisfy the need that is within us. If I just had a bigger car, a bigger house, a better job, more money, that is the God that we serve. And so by reciting the creed, we are rebelling against culture and saying we don't believe that stuff will fill the hole inside of us, but rather we are pledging allegiance to the God of the Bible, saying He is the one that fills the gap. He is the one that gives us purpose, and we align ourselves to that. And so as we started and as we launched this last week, we looked at the powerful first words of the Apostles' Creed, which starts, I believe. And we looked at how believing is more important than knowing. It's what we believe that changes us, and not necessarily what we know. For example, how many of you know that you shouldn't break the speed limit? Okay, some of you are in denial. All right, that's okay. I'm sure the traffic cop will buy that. Okay, we know we shouldn't speed, but yet we do. Well, you do, I don't. All right, I just clarify that. Head knowledge doesn't necessarily transform our behavior. And what we believe matters more than what we know. And as we said last week, there are many people who are in churches today who are going to miss heaven by 18 inches because they know the truth. They know everything about God. They know everything about the Bible. They know everything about who Jesus is and what He's done and His life that He lived for us. But they don't believe it. It isn't something they have put their faith in, that they've trusted in. Which then brings us to the first statement that is made in the Apostles' Creed. And again, this isn't about head knowledge. This isn't about just information that I want to share with you this morning. But it's something that we need to profess our trust in. And this is what it is. And if you could say it with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Now, before we get stuck into the statement and see what it really is teaching us, there's just something that I need to say, and that is that I've been so excited to preach on this morning, because this morning we're going to talk about the awesomeness of God. And that is always something exciting to preach about. But I've also been really scared to preach the sermon this morning because we're preaching about the awesomeness of God. And I just want to tell you outright that whatever I'm going to say over the next couple of minutes will fall horribly short of how awesome God really is. There are no words to describe who He is and what He is doing in our lives. But this is one I want to leave with you this morning, and I want to you to take away, and that is simply this, that I am created by the Almighty God and I am known by the Almighty God. That I am created by the Almighty God and I am known by the Almighty God. And we're going to deal with two things. We're going to look at the fact that God is powerful, that He's infinitely powerful, and God is intensely personal. And to help us with that, we're going to read Psalm 139, and I've asked my sister-in-law Jo, and she's going to come and read that for us. Just open up your Bibles to Psalm 139.
O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them with my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
So So as we read through that psalm, there are just really two specific sections of that I want to focus on this morning as we deal with the idea that God is infinitely powerful and God is intensely personal. And the first verse that I want us just to focus on this morning, we find in verse 14. And this is what David says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Have you ever stopped and just marveled at the wonder of the human body? Now, if you had a body like mine, obviously you would marvel a lot. I know that. But have you ever stopped to just consider the complexity and the wonder of the human body? I mean, for centuries, doctors and scientists have been studying the human body, and they're still discovering stuff, interesting stuff, and they're still trying to figure out how some things work. I began to take particular interest in the human body and the forming of the human body when Jen was pregnant with Luke. We were one of those parents that literally every single day we mapped how this little baby was growing inside of her. During that time, one of the American preachers, Louis Giglio, you may have heard of him, he preached just a sermon about the awesomeness of God, and he showed a lot of things from the human body and, you know, blood cells and stuff like that. And it really just gripped me, and I began to explore a little bit more. I didn't do biology at school. I did accounting. I don't know why. But so this was the first time that this really began to wrap my mind. And what began to fascinate me was just how intricately the human body is put together. And how every cell and every nerve and everything has its specific place. And so David begins to think about this, and all he can say is, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And these are two very powerful adverbs that he uses. But what does he mean by that? So firstly, the word "fearfully" speaks about the thought that God put into making us. You see, God didn't just put us together and say, "Well, I hope it all works out." But he put great thought into how we were put together. He created us with great reverence, with heartfelt interest, and with respect. Basically, it means, and what it tells us, is that you and I are not an accident. We are not here just by accident, but that great thought was put in making you and I. That when God was making us, it was with thought and with purpose as he made us. But then the second word, that we are wonderfully made, speaks about where we fit into creation. That we are created unique, that we are set apart, that we are marvelous. We were made to stand out from all of creation. We are not just an animal. We are different. We are set apart from everything else created. Now just stop for a moment and think about how fearfully and wonderfully you and I are made. And then begin to think about all the complexities of creation around us. Just think how wonderful everything is. All the ecosystems and how everything has to work together. How the stars and moon have to align, and everything has to work in order for us to breathe and to live and have our being. And then in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible opens up with this statement. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Just think about how complex everything is. And all the Bible says about God is simply, he made it. How powerful must God be to be able to create the complexities and beauty that we see around us? If you're not sure, just think about this. Think about all the plants and all the trees that are around us. Wikipedia tells us that there are more than 60,000 species of trees. I couldn't find out how many species of plants there are. The internet doesn't know. All right? Because something like 20,000 new species are being found every single day. So there is an infinitely amount of things around us. And think about how each plant, each tree has a specific place in the ecosystem. Take it out or move it to a different place and things are messed up and it has huge impacts on the environment. Think about how complex that is, and this is what the Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. "And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so." As simple as that. How complex is everything around us? And God just said, let it be. What about the heavens, the stars and the moon and the sun? Here's something to think about. If the sun were a few inches closer, we would burn to death. And if the sun were a few inches further away, we would freeze to death. Everything has its perfect position around the earth. And listen to what Genesis says. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. We could go through every aspect of creation. The seas and the waves. Ever wondered why the wave doesn't go further than it should? Animals and fish. Everything created on this earth simply came into being because God is so powerful that He could just say, let it be, and it was so. And then we, who are fearfully and wonderfully made, created with such thought, with such purpose. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. How powerful does God have to be that simply by speaking, all created things just came into being? God is infinitely powerful. Now, most religions and through different cultures, people believe that their God or their idea of God is powerful and is mighty. That isn't anything new to us. In fact, in ancient times, people knew that the gods were powerful. Gods could give you life. Gods could kill you. God could give you drought, or He could give you a drought. He could make you fertile, or He could make you infertile. And people would do everything possible and everything necessary, and they would sacrifice whatever was needed to ensure that they pleased their God, so that they would live well on this earth. And most people would understand and most people would agree that God is powerful. But what people often struggle with is this idea that God is personal. Many people think that God is powerful and He is distant, but He is not personal and He is not interested in me. But as you look at the first verse of that Psalm 139, what does David say? Lord, You have searched me. And You know me. The God who created you also knows you. Here's something really scary to think about. Did you know that there are companies who know everything about you? Did you know that? They know everything about you. They know what TV shows you watch. They know what food you like to eat. They know your spending habits. They know what illnesses you might have. They even know what size clothing you wear. They know everything about you. They've got data to tell them that. In fact, maybe do yourself a favor. If you go onto Google later or you go onto Facebook, you'll notice ads popping up. Have you noticed that? Have you ever noticed how creepy it is that those ads relate to something you've been thinking about? Have you noticed? All right, because there's data and the algorithms and there are all sorts of things out there, they're collecting data about you, so that when you go on, they give you what they think you need. Now think about that when you go and buy lunch this afternoon. But here's a question. Do they know the real you? You see, we live in a world that is so high tech, but yet we long for high touch. We want to be known. We don't just want to have people knowing facts about us. We want to really be known. But this is what David says. God, You know me. Notice in verse 1, he doesn't say, God, You know about me. But he says, God, You know me. It is personal. In fact, as you read the next couple of verses from verses 1 to 5, David declares a couple of things. In verse 2, he says, God, You know everything that I do. You know when I sit, You know where I stand, You know when I lie down. God knows what You are doing through the day. Again, in verse 2, he says, God, You also know what I think. Most of us don't even know what we're thinking. And God already knows what we are thinking. In verse 3, he says He even knows our motives. Sometimes we don't understand why we do what we do, but God understands our motives. He sees right deep inside of us. In verse 4, it talks about that God knows what we're even going to say before we've even processed what we are going to say or how we're going to respond. The same God who with a single word created all things that are around us. This powerful God is the God who knows us. He even knows us better than we know ourselves. When I was growing up, one of the songs that I hated with a passion, and I still do, and every now and then I was forced to sing the song, is the song From a Distance. Remember that song? From a Distance, God is Watching Us. I hate that song because it is so wrong. God Almighty, our Creator, the infinitely powerful God, is not in the distance watching us, waiting for us to mess up, waiting to judge us, and waiting to ruin our lives. He is near. And He knows us. And He draws us to Himself. You see, the God of other religions, those gods would be watching from a distance. And those gods demand all sorts of devotion and sacrifice, but they do not know us. They are not interested in us. But the God of the Bible, Yahweh, the God who created all things, He knows us and He desires to be known by us. He desires that relationship with us. He longs to be our Heavenly Father. In fact, throughout Scripture is about the story of how God longs to be known and be known by us. He even sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world to reveal Himself to us. And this is what Jesus says about God in John chapter 17 verse 3. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." This is what it's about. It's about knowing God, and because we are known by Him, and so that we can know Him. The God that we believe in, as we stand and as we declare, "I believe in God," the God that we believe in is an all-powerful God who created all things. But He is a God who knows us personally, and He loves us deeply. The Apostle Creed starts with these words, "I believe." And I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you believe about God? Here's the thing. We all know, we have the head knowledge that God is powerful and He is personal. We have the theory, we have the theology that teaches us that. But what is it that we believe? What is it that we are trusting in about God? There are some of you here today that you are very comfortable with the idea of an all-powerful God. It makes sense to you. You understand that. You grew up just knowing and understanding the power of God. In fact, you like the part of the sermon that spoke about how awesome and how powerful God is. But you struggle somewhat with the idea that God is personal. For you, serving God or knowing about God is all about the commitment. It's all about the sacrifice. You serve God and you love God because you know that at any moment He could smite you. But then on the other hand, there are some of you that are very comfortable with the fact that God is a personal God. You relate well to God as Father. In fact, maybe in your own mind or in your own understanding as you deal with God, you deal with Him as you would your grandfather. You know, just so gentle and so loving and so gracious and so kind. You don't like the idea of a God who is so powerful that at any moment He could smite us. That's not in your mind. That's not even in your vocabulary. But the God that is revealed in the Bible is not either powerful or personal. He is both powerful and personal. So what do you believe about God? And which of those two do you relate to the easiest? And which is the one that you need to lean into more? From experience in my own life, I can tell you it's not easy to hold both of those together. My brain just cannot comprehend both at the same time. And often I've found that I've swung from one to the other. Times that I've understood the power of God and there is a fear in me and a respect in me of who He is. But other times I've swung to the fact that He is personal and that He knows me and I relate to His grace and His mercy. But I find it difficult to hold both up together. But what I've discovered is that when I swim to the one and I neglect the other, I don't always see God for who He really is. I miss His glory. I'm not overwhelmed by His nature. But when we hold both of those together, when we truly believe that God is an all-powerful God, but yet He is intensely personal, when we hold both of those together, there are no words to describe who He really is. Suddenly, our minds begin to blow and we begin to think, wow, what a mighty God we serve. To think that God is so powerful that He could, with one word, create complex ecosystems. That He, with one word, could create me that is so complex and so intricately put together. But at the same time, be the God who knows me personally and is interested in me. That is the God that we believe in. That is the God that we serve. What is it that you believe? Which is the one that you lean into and which is the one that you need to explore? Because I am created by the Almighty God and I am known by the Almighty God. Let's just pray together. And if maybe just for us just to be silent and let's just take a moment. And just in your own words and in your own heart, where you're sitting, just come before God and just reflect on these two aspects of God. That God is all powerful, but God is intensely personal. That He knows you and He loves you. And whichever of those two that you are struggling with this morning, maybe you're struggling with an aspect in your life where you're wondering, where is God? Why is He not stepping in? Does He not care? To remind yourself that God is all powerful, that nothing is impossible for Him. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're wondering, why doesn't God seem to step into my life? Is He still in the distance? Maybe to reflect that God is personal, that He knows you. He knows what you are thinking right now. He knows what is on your heart right now. And He is powerful and He is personal. Heavenly Father, as we come before You in worship this morning and as we spend time around Your Word, all we can say is, God, there is none like You. Our brains cannot begin to fathom who You really are. And through Your Word, You've revealed Yourself to us. And through Your Son, Jesus Christ, You've revealed Yourself. But Father God, still we struggle to fully grasp who You are. Because God, You are too great. You are too awesome. You are Almighty God. And there is none like You. But what we simply come before, and as we pray before You this morning, is simply this. Father God, help us to understand You and know You. Help us to be able to grasp these two things, that You are all-powerful, but You are intensely personal. Forgive us, Lord, when we swing to the one or the other. Help us to hold both in front of us, that we may truly see Your glory, that we may truly be overwhelmed by You, Yahweh. For You are great, and there is none like You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand in.